So we're continuing on with this exciting series, the six questions by the sages. Tonight we are on question number four. So, I mean, we have two more wonderful sessions after this one, tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today's fourth question is appearing in the first canto, chapter number one, question by the sages, questions by the sages, text number 17. Tasya
karmani
udharani
parihitani
suribhi
bruhi
nah shadadhananam lilaya dhatva dadata kala tasya karman yudharani
tasya karman yudharani
parigitani suribhi
parigitani suribhi
bruhina
shraddhananam bruhina
Nilaya dadatha kala.
Nilaya dadatha kala.
Karmani.
Karmani.
Transcendental acts.
Transcendental
acts. Udharani.
Udharani.
Magnanimous.
Magnanimous.
Parigitani.
Parigitani.
Broadcast.
Broadcast.
Suribhi.
Suribhi.
By the great souls.
By the great souls.
Bruhi,
Bruhi,
please speak.
Please speak.
Naha,
Naha.
Unto us.
Unto us.
Shadadhananam.
Shadadhananam.
Ready to receive with respect.
Ready to receive with respect.
Lilaya.
Lilaya.
Past time.
Past
time.
Dadata.
Dadata.
Advented.
Advented.
Kala.
Incarnation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious. And great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us who are eager to know about the adventures He performs in His various incarnations. Purport. The personality of Godhead is never inactive, as some less intelligent persons suggest. His works are magnificent and magnanimous. His creations, both material and spiritual, are all wonderful and contain all variegatedness. They are described nicely by such liberated souls as Srila Narada, Vyas, Valmiki, Devala, Asita, Madhva, Sri Chaitanya, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Shridhar, Vishwanath, Baladev, Bhaktivinod, Siddhanta Sarasvati, and many other learned and self-realized souls. These creations, both material and spiritual, are full of opulence, beauty, and knowledge. But the spiritual realm is more magnificent due to its being full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. The material creations are manifested for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by false things. Such foolish men have no information of the reality, and they take it for granted that the false material manifestation is the all in all. But more intelligent men, guided by sages like Vyasa and Narada, know that the eternal kingdom of God is more delightful, larger, and eternally full of bliss and knowledge. Those who are not conversant with the activities of the Lord in his transcendental realm are sometimes favored by the Lord in his adventures as incarnations, wherein he displays the eternal bliss of his association in the transcendental realm. By such activities, he attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. Some of these conditioned souls are engaged in the false enjoyment of material senses, and others in simply negating their real life in the spiritual world. These less intelligent persons are known as karmis, or fruitive workers, and gyanis, or dry mental speculators. But above these two classes of men is the transcendentalist known as sattvata, or the devotee, who is busy neither with rampant material activity nor with material speculation. He is engaged in the positive service of the Lord, and thereby he derives the highest spiritual benefit unknown to the karmis and the gyanis. As the supreme controller of both the material and spiritual worlds, the Lord has different incarnations of unlimited categories. Incarnations like Brahma, Rudra, Manu, Prithu, and Vyas are his material qualitative incarnations, but his incarnations like Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, and Vamana are his transcendental incarnations. Lord Sri Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations, and therefore is the cause of all causes. Om Jnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. How indebted we are to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He has opened the door to the spiritual world. For those of us who are lost in this dense darkness, in this age of Kali, this wonderful, gracious teacher, divine master, the greatest, most magnanimous spiritual master, his divine grace, came to this world to wake us up from our sleeping condition in this material world. So, by hearing his wonderful words of wisdom, diving deeply into their meaning, this is not mere intellectualism. Each and every word of Prabhupada's purports is an access point to the spiritual existence. Each and every syllable of his transcendental vibrations, just like here in this world, nowadays everybody wants to get online. So if one, you know, so everyone's looking, well, you get online this way, you get online that way. So Prabhupada is giving us so many ways to actually get online with Krishna. The Krishna net is the ultimate internet, you see. Once you're connected with Krishna, you're connected with everything. You're not disconnected from anything. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I want to have a career, I want to have a family life. So how can I possibly become Krishna conscious? But they don't realize that when you become Krishna conscious, actually Krishna conscious, in the real sense of the word, then you all the obstacles that are preventing you from connecting in all times, all places and circumstances, all of those obstacles are removed. And now you're perfectly connected in all times and all places with everything, because everything is either Krishna or the energy of Krishna. There's nothing that exists outside of Krishna and the energy of Krishna. So if you have mastered the art of connecting with Krishna, who is obviously connected with his energy, then you're perfectly connected with everything. How is it that Prabhupada gets so perfectly connected with everyone, no matter what background they came from? Just like we gave recently the example. The state legislator came to meet with Prabhupada in Detroit. He was black-bodied. So, Prabhupada, he connected very nicely. He said that, yes, our Krishna is from your community. Because Krishna is black. So, our God is black. So and he loved it. He felt right at home. Oh, you worship a black God. That's great. So Prabhupada knew how to connect with everyone. He knew that art of how to connect. He was the most expert psychologist because he understood perfectly how to connect with everyone in all times, all places and circumstances. Even on the airplane, Prabhupada was so attractive. His mentality, his mood, his demeanor, his style, everything about him was so attractive. The pilot came out of the pilot's cabin and sat down with Prabhupada. And it was filmed on it. It was actually a film of it. Someone, the servant, filmed it. The pilot sitting there and talking with Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada, when you're connected with Krishna, then you're perfectly connected with everything. Now, sometimes in the beginning, it seems like we're, all of a sudden, now we're alienated from the material world. That, in some ways, that does happen in the beginning stage. To protect yourself, you kind of cut yourself off from all the material associations. Prabhupada one time received a letter. This is published in the Science of Self-Realization. You may have read that letter from Lynn Ludwig. One devotee had approached her in the Kmart parking lot with a book or a magazine. And she thought he was a little fanatical in his attitude. So she complained to Prabhupada. She advised him that you should hand pick these pieces of heaven that you send out onto the parking lot. She complained about his attitude, but actually Prabhupada defended his disciple. Because in the beginning, we are trying to, we have all of our material attachments, and those things have entangled us, so we're trying to break free from those attachments. So there may be a bit of a, we make a bit of a wall in the beginning to protect. But when we come to a very advanced devotee, he's no longer threatened by his own material desires. And he can just freely give love and mercy to everyone wherever he goes. He's nothing to be afraid of because he's simply in the mood of giving Krishna, giving Krishna, giving Krishna to everyone. So such a personality is here, Sutta Goswami. And the sages are realizing this is a person who can actually connect us with Krishna. So when we come in contact with a person who can connect us with Krishna, these sages are showing what is the way to receive such a person. We studied the verse this morning. They say, Bhadram te, all blessings unto you. They're doing everything they can to make a very, very auspicious atmosphere, because as we remember from our previous lecture, these sages could see the Kali Yuga was coming. And they wanted to hold off the inauspicious effects of this age because it's a very bad time for this planet when the Kali Yuga comes. They wanted to hold it off as long as possible. So it was realized that this is the real way to do it. We hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So just as the sages were holding back the Kali Yuga by engaging Sutta Goswami in describing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, this recitation here that we're having tonight, because the full potency of Prabhupada is in this purport, you see. Because Prabhupada's full potency is in this purport, which we are reading and discussing. This is also having all of our classes that we have in all of our temples, all over the world, our kirtans, our classes, all the devotional activities that are going on in our ISKCON centers, and householders are strictly following in their homes, the same principle. This is actually holding back the Kali Yuga. It's slowing down the Kali Yuga. So the more we increase the intensity of and the ecstasy of our kirtans, our prasadam, our hearing and chanting, You know, all of our activities we engage in this movement, the more we become enthusiastic and enlivened in these activities, then it has a similar effect as Sutta Goswami speaking to these sages. It holds back the influence of the age. So this is a great service for the people in general. The sages are wondering, what is that activity which is the greatest benefit of the society in general? And that was described by Sutta Goswami, Ahaitaki Apratiyata Yayatma Supatidati, that when one takes up devotional service, Savai Pung Samparo Paro Dharmo, you see, in this way, he was saying that by taking this, the supreme occupation for humanity is that by which men can take to transcendental loving service unto the transcendent Lord. Yato bhaktirad hoksaje. By taking up that bhakti which is free of any material motives, which is free of any interruptions, simply engaged in Krishna consciousness, that will actually do the highest benefit for the society at large. So, just as Sutta Goswami is doing, Prabhupada has engaged us in doing the same thing. The Sankirtan Yajna that's going on, this Hare Krishna movement, this is a movement for holding back the influence of the age of Kali, and it has the actual potential, as predicted in the scriptures, to actually put Kali into a state of, what they call that, remission. Just like someone can have cancer, they come down with cancer, and then they go through some special therapy, their cancer can go into remission. You see, the symptoms actually go away. It can come back again. But they may enjoy some years of nice health when their cancer went into a state of remission. So the cancer of the Kali Yuga is a cancer. And the Sankirtan movement is a therapy which can actually drive that cancer into remission, for it actually becomes impotent. For 10,000, it's predicted there'll be a 10,000 year period when the cancer of the Kali Yuga goes into a state of remission. And a Satya Yuga-like era, the Chaitanya era, will completely flood the entire planet. So we are very fortunate to have this opportunity to be those persons engaged by Prabhupada. What is our qualification? I mean, look how disqualified we are. Sometimes devotees make a comparison between us and the monkeys of Lord Ram. He just grabbed some monkeys from the forest and engaged them because he couldn't go back to the king, the capital, to get the soldiers. He just grabbed whatever he could, some monkeys. So we are Prabhupada's monkeys. He grabbed us and he's engaging us. He's just like those monkeys were empowered. You see, Prabhupada has empowered us. Prabhupada has invested, for those who have fully surrendered to following Srila Prabhupada, he has invested his potency in them, so he is acting through them, just as Ram's potency was invested in those monkeys. So the answer to this question is rather lengthy. It's the entire chapter 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no way we can do justice to in one evening. It's the entire chapter. So I'm not going to even attempt. You know, I could just read through all the verses, but, you know, it's practically like, you know, an opera. You just kind of just sail through blah, 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 this verse, this verse, this verse. No. We really need to dive in. What we should do is look at the key verse of chapter 3 is the answer. That's the most important verse. We'll just zero in on the key shloka of chapter 3, which of course is coming up. Ete chamsha kalapum. So, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Svayam Indriyari Vyakulam Vokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. All of the above-mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. The Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So there's a very big list given here. We could name the names here of the list without reading all the verses. First of all, the mentions the Purushas lying down. You know, of course, there's the different Purusha avatars. There's Mahavishnu, Gavadavishai Vishnu, Shirodakavai Vishnu is there. Brahma is born from the lotus flower from Gavadavishai Vishnu. Then it mentions the sons of Brahma, the Kumaras. And they're mentioned in text 6, text number 7. Mentions the lifter of the earth, the born incarnation. He is listed. The third empowered incarnation, Devarshi Narada, is mentioned, the sage amongst the demigods. The fourth incarnation, Nara, Narayan, the twin sons of the wife of King Dharma, is mentioned. Fifth incarnation, Lord Kapila, is mentioned. Then the sixth incarnation was the son of the sage Atri. He was born from the womb of Anasuya. The seventh incarnation was Yajna. In this way, the eighth incarnation was King Rishabha. The ninth incarnation was King Prithu. The Matsya avatar is mentioned. The 11th is mentioned the tortoise incarnation. The 12th we have Dhanvantari, who gave us the Ayurveda. The 13th we have Mohini Murti, Krishna taking the form of a woman. Completely baffled the minds of the demons so the demigods could get the nectar. The 14th incarnation was Nrsimha, Bhagavan. 15th, Vamana. 16th was Bhrigupati. 17th was Vyasadev. The 18th was Ram. The 19th was Balaram. And 20th is Krishna. And then it mentions how Lord Buddha will appear in the beginning of the Kali Yuga. It gives the son of Anjana in the province of Gaya. It is all predicted ahead of time. Who the parents will be, where the place will be. Then the Kalki avatar is predicted, and the parent, the father, Vishnu, Jasha, is already predicted who will be his father. So in this way it says the incarnations are innumerable. So it just gives a brief tip of the iceberg description of the incarnations. And then after this partial list, it says these are all... It says Krishna is actually the origin. Now some people say, well, how Krishna is the 20th in the list. So how could Krishna be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The others came before he did. But no. Even in this material world, just an example, the war in Iraq was president, of course, in the Vedic times, the king would go first. But in this case, so many soldiers went into Iraq, and then later on, Mr. Bush went to Iraq. He wasn't the first one to go. So many soldiers went. So just because somebody goes the first doesn't mean that they're the supreme. It just means that was their service. They were sent to go first, and later on. And even in our ISKCON, who was the first devotee to come to Germany, for example? Was it Prabhupada? No. Shivananda, same Prabhu. From what I've read, he was the first one who came to Germany on Prabhupada's order. And then once he came and some other devotees came, and then Prabhupada came. So just because someone went first doesn't mean that they're the supreme. In our movement, Prabhupada is the supreme person. Not the supreme personality of God, he's the supreme of all the devotees in our movement. He's the topmost devotee, the founder of Acharya. That doesn't always mean that he was the first one to go to a place. His followers sometimes are to New York, Prabhupada was the first, because there was nobody else. But after that, someone else would go first. He was not the first one to go to San Francisco. That was Mukunda Prabhu, Mukunda Goswami. No. So, just because someone goes first doesn't mean that they're the Supreme. It could mean they're a servant of the Supreme, and their service was to go and pave the way for the Supreme Person. You know? So they can't argue that because Krishna is the 20th in the list that he's not the Supreme, and then just to make sure that it's clearly understood, Sudha Goswami is explaining that Krishna is indeed Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That original personality of Godhead is Krishna. And of course that's confirmed elsewhere, everywhere it's confirmed. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Satchiranandra Vigraha. It's confirmed there by Lord Rama, it's confirmed by Krishna himself. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Matak Sarvam Pravartate. I'm the source of all material and spiritual world, everything emanates from me. Everything that exists is, as we said earlier in this lecture, it's either Krishna or it's the energy of Krishna. There's nothing besides those two things. There's nothing that exists outside of Krishna and the energy of Krishna. Nothing at all. You're either Krishna or you're the energy of Krishna. An object is either Krishna or it's the energy of Krishna. So this Krishna consciousness movement is actually connecting us with the original source of everything. And that desire, just like that young lady last night who has a desire to serve the poor. This is the real service. If we connect people with Krishna, everyone in this material world is poor. We explain to her. She's thinking, well, poor means you don't have much money, you know. But actually, everyone is poor in this world. Is there any actual person that's truly wealthy here? You see, it's truly wealthy. He doesn't have to face any suffering condition. See, we have an illusion that somebody who's rich doesn't have to suffer. But you know what? The rich people suffer more. Because they have more anxiety. There's an old saying, if you don't have anything, you don't have anything to lose. So the more you have material opulence, the more you're afraid of wanting to hold on to it, actually. I have practical experience when I was years ago, and I was in the Houston temple serving there as a brahmachari. There was one wealthy man, he would come to the temple. He was very wealthy. He would come to the temple in a stretch limo with a chauffeur, a little hat. You know, the big limo would pull up, and way back in the back end of the limo, the door would open, and this man would get out, and he would come in with his suit and tie. He'd come in and take darshan, take some prasad. And in those days, it was a real Sankirtan temple. Everybody went on Sankirtan every day, book distribution. And they needed somebody to stay back, so they asked me. Somehow or other, I was elected to stay back. I had to cook all the offerings, offer all the aartis, answer the phone, take care of the guests. A whole temple was on my shoulders every day, cooking the sweets, washing the dishes, everything. So anyway, I was the one who took care of this gentleman when he came to the temple, because there was nobody else there. And he told me, so I have an inside my, he showed me, and he had a holster inside his suit with a gun. Because he said, I'm always afraid of being kidnapped because of my wealth. He said, I can't have any peace. The man's in anxiety. In so much opulence, he comes to the temple in a limousine. But in great anxiety, somebody will kidnap me from my wealth, you see. So just imagine how much Bill Gates must be in anxiety, how many security guards he must be surrounded by, you see. So don't think that material power, material money will make you happy. I just got an email from somebody. He said, I'm really happy to find you because I need power and I need money. That's what he told me. He thought that somehow or other, through the process of self-realization, he would get power and he would get money. He said, I'm so happy I found you because I need power and I need money. So I had to tell him, my dear sir, Actually, power and money is nothing compared to God realization. If you realize God, then you will have no need. You will feel no, you will not be disturbed by this desire for power and money. I told him that. He may be disappointed. He was hoping for power and money. And I'm telling him, all you need is God. But that's the reality. If you become a lover of God, you have no more needs. Actually, you have no more need. If you give your life totally in the service of the Lord and simply do whatever the Lord wants you to do, that's all. 24 hours a day, engage yourself in doing what the Lord wants you to do. If you do that, then everything will come. Whatever you need will be there. And this will be your last lifetime in this material world. You will get out of this rotten, miserable cycle known as the cycle of birth and death. Guaranteed. You will get out of this now. You simply have to do whatever Krishna wants. Whatever Krishna wants is all right. Krishna can do anything he wants to with me. That's Lord Chaitanya's move, his prayer. You can handle me roughly by your embrace. You can leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Whatever you want to do, you can do because you are my worshipful Lord without any conditions. Anything you want to do with me. That is devotee. You can do anything with me you want. I recently was blessed with the opportunity to associate with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami just before he left his body. This soul who is so dedicated to giving Krishna to as many people as possible, so dedicated to working hard to giving Krishna, he came down with terminal cancer in his foot. Tried to save his life, he cut off his foot. So I went for his Vyas Puja. He just had his foot cut off. And this is a person who loves to dance. So I was sitting with him in Prashadam in his quarters. He was missing his foot. And he was just blissful and talking, and he wasn't thinking about himself or I don't have a foot anymore. He was just blissfully talking about all the devotees as much of God brothers was sitting with him. He was just appreciating all of his God brothers. Just appreciating being with all of his God brothers and seeing the nice qualities of all of his God brothers. That's all he was thinking about. And actually he had made a joke in his lecture because he was getting a lot of attention and focus, and everybody, you know, there was like hundreds of people packed there in the temple all coming to see him. So he was saying, actually they may say that I'm just faking this cancer so I get all this attention. But now the proof is I don't have a foot anymore. The proof is I'm not really faking it. I wouldn't cut my foot off just to have you come here to be with me. So he was just joking and laughing about it. You know, it was so fun. He had such a sweet sense of humor. And you know, he died shortly after that of terminal cancer in the midst of a huge kirtan. You know, so. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I've got an earache or I got this problem. But I just think about Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He had his foot cut off. He was dying. His body was deteriorating. He went to a doctor's office or something. He did his arm like this and he broke his collarbone. It just snapped on him. He went like this and all of a sudden his collarbone broke. Just from a slight movement of his arm, he broke his collarbone. And it would not heal. He was walking around with a broken collarbone, which is very painful. There's no way it would heal because his whole body was deteriorating. But yet he was completely blissful, completely just tasting nectar. He was relishing the nectar of Krishna's holy names with deep, deep, deep relish, and inspiring and enlivening all the devotees who came to be with him. So this was an example of Krishna consciousness. You see, before my very eyes, I'm seeing, here's a person who knows what it means to be Krishna conscious and who is tasting it, who is giving it to others unto his last dying breath. So what if I have some, you know, I'm half deaf or I have this problem or that problem? It's nothing compared to his situation. And he was completely enlivened, totally enlivened. So this is the wonderful thing about the Association of Devotees. We can see the example of senior advanced devotees who are very, very fixed in their Krishna consciousness. And that's a great inspiration for us as we struggle with our minds, we struggle with our senses, so that we can come to higher and higher levels of Krishna consciousness. Actually, pure bhakti is already there within it. We already have pure Krishna bhakti. Simply, it is covered by so many layers of lust, so many layers of anger, and so many layers of greed. That's all. The pure bhakti is already there within your heart. Now it is just covered, lust, anger, and greed, layer, layer after layer after layer after layer, accumulated for millions of lifetimes. So we simply have to take this process very, very seriously. Chanting, hearing, serving, remaining in the company of the devotees. In this way, or if we're living on the outside, associate as much as we can with the devotees and make our home also into an ashram, a place of spiritual cultivation. And in this way, we will actually make solid advancement day by day, week by week, month by month, to come back to actually being, knowing fully well, realizing who I actually am. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And actually being able to manifest that at every moment, in all times, all places, in all situations, with our thoughts, our words, and last but not least, our deeds. So we can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. You spoke about this, our connection to Krishna. If we are connected to Krishna, we are connected.
I spoke about our
connection to Krishna.
Connection to Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. So it just came to my mind that I suppose it's mentioned somewhere in our books that especially Paramahamsas are expert to engage everything everywhere in Krishna service.
Mm-hmm.
But it also said that if one is not very elevated and like that, there are, can be like a little bit risky areas if you are connecting.
That's why we require a guru. We have to be engaged by the spiritual master. If we try to do it on our own, we'll get into trouble. But if we surrender ourselves to a bona fide spiritual master and just do whatever the spiritual master tells us, then we'll become properly situated. That's why guru is essential. Don't try to do it on your own. You'll have trouble. Many people, they want to become self-realized on their own without taking shelter of the spiritual master. And they, actually all they're doing is surrendering to their mind. So they can't go anywhere. They're stuck in the mental platform. To go beyond the subtle body, the mind, you have to take shelter of abundance by the spiritual master. Do everything under his direction. And then you'll be properly situated. Then you'll be connected. And you'll be empowered to connect others by giving them Krishna consciousness. A book, some words, some prasadam, an invitation to the temple, or training someone how to actually practice Krishna consciousness. You see, how to chant, how to follow the principles, all the items of bhakti given, nectar devotion. If you're connected with your spiritual master, then even though you're still struggling with your own senses, By dint of your strict obedience to your spiritual master, then you become empowered to also connect others with Krishna. You may not be the powerhouse, but if you're connected with the powerhouse, you see, then you can give light also. It's like, you see here, there's some wires, and they are going many, many miles to the powerhouse. The powerhouse is not right here in this room illuminating this lamp, but because there is a connection with the powerhouse, the illumination is there. So if that lamp tries to illuminate this temple room without being connected to the powerhouse, it will be a joke. There will be no illumination. But if that lamp is connected with the powerhouse, it gives very nice light. So, as long as you're connected with the powerhouse, Krishna, through the Guru Parampara, the Guru Parampara wire system, you see, then you have Shakti. You will be able to remain on track by always obeying your Guru Maharaj and by repeating what you have heard and what you have realized by serving Guru and Krishna. Then you will be very powerful for spreading this Krishna consciousness to the people here in Finland. So you do that.
Right.
Questions more? Yes.
So there is much more incarnations that are not.
Oh yes, there are millions and billions of incarnations. Why billions, trillions, quadrillions, sextillions, zillions of incarnations? You cannot count how many millions upon millions upon millions of incarnations there are of Krishna.
But these are somehow the most important ones.
Somehow?
The most important for us to know.
The most important incarnation is Lord Sri Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are the most important. Actually, Prabhupada said in L.A., he said, Lord Chaitanya is not an incarnation of Krishna. He is Krishna. He's different from the other incarnations. He's Krishna himself in his most merciful manifestation. He's not just another one of the incarnations. He is Krishna himself. He's the original Krishna in his merciful, most merciful manifestation. Questions, Mark? Yeah.
Please accept my respectful obeisances. I hope I can put the question properly.
Yes. Yeah. Try your best and Krishna will help you.
Okay. I understand a little bit theoretically that we have to redevelop our love for Krishna. But in order to do that, is it similar that in order to love someone, you must first get to know them?
Yes, absolutely. Prabhupada gives the example. In America, on the money, it says, in God we trust. But the trouble is, in America, they don't know anything about God. So now there's a big agitation by the atheists in the courts to take God out of everything in America. Just like in the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag, it says, there's one line, one nation under God. So some atheists went to the court and said, this is unconstitutional, and this has to be removed from the Pledge of Allegiance. And the court sided with the atheists, saying, yes, this is against the Constitution because, you know, we're imposing God on the atheists by putting that into the pledge. So in this way, there's a big agitation in the U.S., just like when I was a kid going to high school. We prayed to God every morning, all over in the school. It was the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But then one lady from Austin, Texas, where we have our center actually, she went to the Supreme Court and got the of course somebody murdered her after that, but they were kind of angry at her. She was kidnapped and they never found her body, is what happened. But she had the prayers removed from the public school because she didn't want her daughter to be exposed to the prayer. So even though so many parents would want their children to pray every day in school, millions of parents, because one parent didn't want their child to pray in the school, for that one child, they killed prayer in all the schools throughout the whole United States. Killed it. For one child who didn't want to hear the prayer. They could have sent the child out of the room during the prayer, you know. You can go and, you can go to the snack bar and have a drink, a soda pop during the prayer if you want. We'll let you do that. Special privilege for the atheists, you know. They killed prayer. So the point is, because they don't know God, even though they say trust God, therefore they're losing their God consciousness. So the point is, you have to know God to love God. So this is why the Krishna consciousness movement is so very, very, very important. This is why the Krishna book is so very, very important. This is why the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, because we actually get to know God. Can you know God very deeply in the Bible? Does the Bible tell you what His name is? Does your Bible give you His address? You see? We know everything about God. You see? His address, His email address, everything. We know everything about God. His phone number, everything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Every devotee is given a hotline with God, you see. We have a direct connection with God. And we know everything. We know His mother's name, His father's name, His brother, His girlfriend. You know? Even His other girlfriend, like Chandravali. We know about the rivalry going on between Radharani and Chandravali. I mean, we really know a lot about God. We know tons. We even know His, you know, we even know about His favorite flute. And we know which note he plays, which is the most sublime note that he plays on the flute, the fifth note on the flute. That is the most sublime note, you see. We know so many things. We know the peacock feather on his hair. We know what color his dhoti is. You see? The ordinary person doesn't even know that he wears a dhoti. What to speak of what color his dhoti is. We have so much inside information. Actually, there's an old song from the 60s. When I was growing up, I didn't know anything, so I just listened to the radio all summer long. Tried to win contests on the radio. So I heard so many songs when I was a kid in high school, you know, during the summer break. There's an old hit song. To know him is to love him. And I do. That was the song. So the idea is if you know someone, then you can love them. To know him is to love him. So without knowing God, you may say, I love God. But then when God actually shows up, you won't recognize. How can you love him? You won't even recognize he's God. You see? They say, I love God. And they say, okay, here he is. And they say, oh, that's the devil. You see? I don't want your book. This is the devil, isn't it? The book distributors? This is the devil. I want this. I love God. Get away from me. Right? So bad, you know? If you don't know God, you can't love Him. So we actually know God by the mercy of Prabhupada, you see. We actually know God. We know Him. We know how the cowherd boys would come home in the evening completely amazed from the day of Krishna in the forest. They'd be so excited. They'd say, Mataji, Mataji, we were in the forest today and this big demon came. And Krishna killed him. Oh, Mataji, it was so amazing. And they go, oh yes, we know. You all make up these stories about Krishna. They just think, these little children, they know, why do they make up all these tall tales about Krishna? They couldn't believe all these stories. But the coward boys, they knew, oh yes, Mataji, big demon, he came out of the forest. Oh, Mataji, it was so amazing. And Krishna killed him. We know how Krishna walked into Mathura like he owned the place. Even though just a small lad, he walked into Mathura like he owned the whole city. You know? He didn't care for the law and order of Kamsa. No way. When that Varshaman wouldn't give over the clothing, cut off his head. We know who is Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, we can love Krishna. The more you know about Him. And this is even in the material world, just like they have these movie star magazines. You know, somebody is attracted to a movie star, so they go over to the news, or on the internet now, you read all about your favorite star. You know, the more you can know about your favorite star, the more you can feel some attraction for them. So they do that. You know, they have these movie magazines. And they put the picture, it's like, you know, they put the picture of their, you know, Michael Jordan on their wall, you know. The more they can see their favorite star and hear about their favorite star, their feelings of love just grow more and more, you know. If they can meet them someday and, oh, get their autograph. Oh. So we were in Vrindavan, we went all the way. Maybe you've been to Kamyama in the far side. It's very, very far. Who's been to Kamyama? You must have been. You've been. Yeah. You've been on top of the mountain and saw Krishna's footprint? That mountain? They get a crummy autograph, but we actually get to see the footprint of God on top of the mountain. Oh, far, far side of Kamyama. So far from the mountain. Such a long, arduous, but it's worth every minute of it. That long ride all the way across Brajmandal to the other end of Brajmandal, and there, they made it easy, they put a stair. You used to have to, go up the, wind your way up through the rocks. Now there's a staircase. But you go up there, and there's Krishna's footprint. You see? So we get the advantage of seeing where Krishna did this, Krishna did that. We get to read about it. We get to someday actually enter into that divine world and see Krishna doing it directly. These pastimes of Krishna are called Nitya Lila. They are going on eternally. It's not that, oh my goodness, I missed that pastime. All I can do is hear about it. No, you can actually go because the spiritual world is timeless. You can actually go to the spiritual world and enter into those divine Lilas and take up a role, whatever role Krishna has given you. Are actually your natural propensity and Krishna's desire become one and the same. You become perfectly one in interest with the Lord. So, yes, we know Krishna like anything. We know God like anything. And the more we know about Him, the more we hear about Him, the more we talk about Him, the more we remember Him, it just becomes sweeter and sweeter. The loving feelings just go on increasing more and more and more. We get to dress God. The Bajari gets to dress God. How many people get to dress God in this world? Decorate Him, dress Him. No one. This is for Krishna devotees only at this facility. So, how intimate is that? You actually get to dress Him. You see? So how close we become to God. Very, very close we come to God. And that way we can really develop some very strong feelings for the Lord. So, any other question? Yes, Avadutta Chandra. Prabhu.
Prabhu, and thank you for your class. So, we were speaking about these different religions, and they are like quite often attracted to many material things like health and wealth and so on.
Yes, yes.
So, they are praying to God. But who is fulfilling their prayers? Who are they connected with?
Actually, Prabhupada told us in Atlanta. He said that the thief is praying to the Lord that I may successfully rob that house. And the householder, he is praying, my dear Lord, you please protect my home from thieves. So Prabhupada said, and God has to fulfill both of them. He actually, Prabhupada cut a joke. He said, God is perplexed. God is perplexed. That's what he said. He actually said that. God is perplexed. But Krishna is ultimately fulfilling. Everything that's coming is ultimately all coming from Krishna. Whatever it is. It may be directly delivered from Krishna. For the devotees, it's directly delivered by Krishna. But for the non-devotees, it is coming indirectly through the demigod. You see? But demigod is simply a delivery person for whatever Krishna is actually giving. So there's no reason. You see? Just like here you have DHL who delivers the parcels. Is there any reason to flatter your DHL delivery person? No. Of course, we're polite to everyone. He's not the supplier, he's in delivery. The supplier, yes, you may flatter him. Some donor who sends you, €1 million by DHL. You may say thank you to the DHL man, to the person who actually mailed you the check. Well, all the devotees may go there and have a kirtan and have a big feast at his house. You give us €1 million donation. I'm sure you do more than just saying, thank you. Someone gives I'm sure Tathagata Prabhu, if someone gave €1 million donation to the temple, would take the whole temple there and have a big festival at their home to really thank them in a big way, so they might want to give another 2 or 3 million. See? But for the one who's the DHL delivery person, no, thank you very much. Take it. See? So the demigod is just a delivery person. But Krishna is the one who's actually giving. Krishna is giving for everyone, but to his devotees he directly gives. You see? Ananyas chintayantomam yejana paripasate tesham nichabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamya. To those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Krishna takes that position to personally take care of his devotees. That is one acharya. He became famous as a Manacharya Buddha. He couldn't believe it. It was a whole pastime. He couldn't believe that Krishna would personally do. So he scratched in his Bhagavad Gita that Krishna would do this. This is a mistake in the Bhagavad Gita. And then Krishna and Balaram, when he was out of the house, Krishna and Balaram came to the door with all these groceries to supply to the family who were needing the food. And they mentioned how the husband had beaten them. They showed all the bruises on the body where they'd been severely beaten. And actually, he had, when this devotee had doubted that Krishna would personally deliver and scratch through, he was actually personally beating the body of the Lord, because Bhagavad Gita and Krishna are not different. So in this way, the devotee realized Krishna taught a lesson. That actually Krishna is personally delivered, and I have committed great offense by not believing that Krishna personally delivers. So that is the way to receive one's necessities. It's not that a devotee will not get the necessities of life. A devotee will not be lacking the necessities of life. The difference is he gets them personally delivered by Krishna. That's the difference. The non-devotee has to get through the agency of the demigod. The devotee is personally supplied everything by Krishna. So that's a much better position to be in. A devotee, that's where you want to be. Devotee, don't be a non-devotee. You know, it's not a good position to be in. Non-devotee is not a good position. Devotee, that is a good position to be in. You can see the intelligent people, they become devotees. This is for the intelligent class. See, those who are fools, they remain non-devotees. But those who are intelligent, they become devotees. Only a fool wouldn't become a devotee, right? Isn't that a fact of it? Only a fool would not become a devotee. Yeah, that's right. Confirmed by Tathagata Buddha. Only a fool would not become a devotee. So any other points, questions? Yeah.
So is it so that that everyone is reciprocating with God, even non-religious persons, they are hoping to get something, or they're hoping very much to something.
Everyone is dealing with Krishna on some level, either directly or indirectly, because his material energy is also him. It's his manifestation. Just like in this, here in this day, you have people going to the university and people attending another institution, what is that called? The prison. So both persons are connected with the government. But who's in a better position? The person going to school and earning a PhD degree so he can have a more comfortable living in the future? Or the person who's breaking rocks inside the prison? Both of them are connected with the government. Who's in a better position? So actually everybody is connected with Krishna. But you can be connected via the spiritual energy, plan A, or plan B is the material energy. Which plan do you like? You should make your choice. You want to be, everyone's on one of the plans, plan A or plan B. You should make your choice. Your choice is yours. Plan A, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Plan B, temporality, illusion, and misery. Which plan would you like to be on? Your choice. We give everyone a choice. It's like when you go to work for a company, they have health insurance. And I don't know if you have this, but here in Finland, but in America, you go to work for a company, they say, okay, we have our health insurance plans. You want plan A or plan B? Take your choice. Everyone gets, company gives you your health insurance, you can choose which plan you want to be on. So the same way, Krishna says, okay, here you are, you're my eternal manifestation, and I give you a choice, plan A or plan B. So most people, you know, they choose plan A in the spiritual world. Do you think we are the majority here? In this material world, the karmi, gyanis? No, we are a very small, minuscule minority of the vast infinitude of living beings who are eternally serving Krishna in the spiritual sky. This is just a little tiny fraction of the unlimited numbers of nitya siddha devotees of the Lord in the spiritual world. So we're, by joining the Krishna consciousness movement, you're actually entering into the majority. Don't think that you're in a minority. Oh, I joined a minority religion and people laugh at me. Well, no. You become part of the majority when you join the Krishna consciousness movement. You're re-entering the majority of living entities within God's creation. These karmis, they're just a small fraction of a vast, unlimited number of devotees that fill up the Lord's creation. It's like the prison is a minority of the population. Although I think it really, they should make it a majority of the way people are behaving now, but it's actually a minority of the population. The vast majority live outside the prison. So, any other questions? Is everyone satisfied? Everyone's happy that actually we're devotees? That's what we really are? You're happy with that? You like that idea that you're actually a devotee? Yeah. Very good. Okay. So we will stop here and we will continue with two more lectures in this exciting dynamic series. This six questions of the sages tomorrow morning at 7:45 and tomorrow evening in the Sunday Peace Lecture. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Iskand Hyal Singh Ki Devotees Ki Jai.